just telling you why all songs sound the same. I think everybody senses something like that is happening. I mean, whenever I'm in a store or something and they're playing top 40 stuff, it's like, all this stuff is so emotive, so simplistic and no, it's not the sugar-coated stuff. That was good stuff. The bubblegum pop, that was actually good compared to this stuff, like the Archie Sugar Sugar. I like that stuff. I'm not going to sing it. Oh, okay. Sugar, bum, 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 bum. Oh, honey, honey, bum, 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 bum. There's something distinctive about that, believe it or not. I mean, it was starting already. Granted, grant you that. It was already starting. Yeah, okay, it was already starting. But again, the Beatles blew it up, I think, and the Beatles took a giant step forward when they started taking drugs. Am I advocating drug taking? No. Am I upset that the Beatles experimented with marijuana and LSD? No. They produced some awesome music. Who is it that put drugs in the world? I mean, marijuana is a plant. Who did this? God did it. And so my philosophy on drugs is, if it's a natural drug, if it's not effed up in a lab, then I think it's of God. I don't recommend doing anything illegal. But if I look at these things, I'm thinking God is using these drugs to give people a preview into the coming eon, into life beyond mortality. I think the orgasm does the same thing. It's its own type of physical drug, and I think it gives the participants a window, a short, brief little window into the joys of the coming eon. And so I think drugs, certain drugs, natural drugs like hallucinogenic mushrooms. I've never had any. I've been tempted to go out and find one, see what happens. You know, they grow naturally. You have to know what to look for. But certain mushrooms God put on the planet that you can escape this world. And I think it's a hint. And I think that when these things are used intelligently and with caution, with due diligence, and with moderation, that they can open windows. But I think that too much of a good thing is bad. And I think that when these things can easily be abused, one must be careful. But why did God put these things in nature? Why? I ask you why. And so the Beatles got their minds opened, I do believe. And then they started writing awesome music like Tomorrow Never Knows. And the sounds they took... They took chances in the studio. They conducted experiments that nobody conducted before. They tried stuff that seemed nuts. And there's old man George Martin in there, their producer. Like, yeah, I'll try that. He was cool. He was the establishment. He was the guy who worked at EMI. EMI was the establishment. And it really was a miracle marriage that the Beatles were put together with George Martin, an establishment guy, who gave them access. Like, the lunatics were in charge of the asylum, except it wasn't an asylum. It was EMI at Abbey Road Studios, and the Beatles were plugged into the mainstream, which is very rare for a true artist to be plugged into the mainstream. Very rare. The true visionary, whether it's music or art or film, the true visionary must proceed on his or her own. They must present their art as they can. Walt Whitman, for instance, the great poet, he self-published his first book, Leaves of Grass, which became amazing verse, amazing poetry, because of the vision the man had. What? No, I don't know if Walt Whitman had access to hallucinogenic mushrooms. I don't know whether Walt Whitman smoked weed. All I know is that the guy, he had to write his own reviews early on because nobody got it. Nobody got it. And the Beatles themselves were rejected by Decca Records. Did you know that? I think 1962. They went to a record company that rejected them because I don't know why. Because the guy who listened to him was an idiot. And then George Martin at EMI, the miracle is they were plugged in. And I think that's fantastic. But today all music sounds the same. And it's no accident that you think that. Why does all music seem like it sounds the same? Because it does. Because it does. And there's a reason for it. Listen to that video I recommended to you yesterday. What was the guy's name? Paul Joseph Watson. This video has 831,000 views. The truth about popular music. There's another great video too he made. Why are men frightened of marriage? That's a good one. And here's one. The dumbest people ever. Talks about what I've been talking about. Our culture being dumbed down. This man doesn't realize that the intoxicant of Babylon doesn't realize why these things are. That's why I'm the assembler. That's why they call me the assembler. Just like Solomon. Because I take these various revelations from various corners, and I put them together. I fit pieces of a puzzle together, and I show you the vista. I show you the big picture from an aerial view. That's what you're getting here. I'm not inventing this stuff, but I am assembling it and putting it together and showing you how everything is coming together under the hand of God. Now let's talk about the press. I'm only going to be like 3 more days on this, seriously, and then I'm going to move on to the next chapter of Revelation. Well, is it the next chapter? Or the next part of chapter 17. Not going on chapter 18 yet. But the press. Ladies and gentlemen, the press. The news media. It is no longer merely an organ of reporting, is it? No. It has become a organization, a unified organization with an agenda, with a message. It's not objectively reporting news. It is actually in the business now of making news. I'm talking about the big three networks, which are coming into extinction, thank God. Talking about ABC, CBS, NBC, even some of the cable networks like CNN, yes, even Fox News. They're now reporting with a slant, with a bias, with an agenda, and it's being pumped into them by Jewish parties. I'm sorry. But it's the facts. George Soros is a Jew, and he's financing, again, much of the news media that is forwarding progressivism, and which leads to a one-world government. The evil side of the one-world government. Just look at George Soros. He looks like a warmed-over corpse. He looks like Satan himself. He's an evil man, and he's helping to build the one-world order. And there are entities, again, like this Watson guy, and like the InfoWars guy, they're fighting it. And again, I say that those fighting this evil are the true one world order. But it will never be called that. I was telling this to a friend last night, and she said, Martin, as usual, you're just one step ahead. You're one step ahead of me. I never thought of it that way. Well, I make sense for a living. This is what I do. It's just I can't not do this. But it's got to be. Again, a seduction so sweet that even you and I will think that it's great. I love these videos I've been promoting to you. Alex Jones is the InfoWars guy, and these people are on it, and they're seeing what I'm telling you. But they're not calling it the intoxicant of Babylon because they don't know that this ties in with Scripture. They don't know it. But it does. I'm the one telling you that. And I'm the one telling you that these champions that are going to overcome this evil progressivism, this evil globalism, they are the ones who are the true globalists, although they will be presenting themselves, rightly so, as anti-globalists. And they don't have an evil agenda. The New World Order people, they do have a conscious agenda to bring this to the world. But the people who are going to conquer it, they are fine people, and they're not thinking. This is the key. They're not thinking that we're going to build this new world order, this one world government. They're not thinking that way. It's unconscious. It's the same as the Pharisees. The Pharisees aren't, that's a good template, really. The Pharisees aren't thinking, we are going to subvert the entire nation of Israel, and it is our goal this morning, after breakfast, to kill the Messiah. That's what we're going to do today, kill the Messiah. They're not thinking this. In fact, they are probably the rescuers of the people from evil factions, and that's what they thought they were. They thought they were rescuing the people from Jesus, because Jesus was an evil faction. It's not a perfect parallel to the current events, but it's not bad. I offer it to you as the best I can do this morning. Listen to this. A.E. Nock. These are gross methods of corruption. He's talking about the gradual debasement of music. Now he's graduating to the press. I need my light for this. This is something else. Are you ready for this? A much more insidious and subtle control is exercised over the minds of men and women, I dare say, through Jewish control of the press. This has grown to staggering proportions. It is not that they necessarily own all the newspapers and magazines, but they dominate the field. And yes, they do. They dominate the field today. I've listed that. I've already told you about that. Perhaps the principle on which this is based will be clear from an instance which came under my observation many years ago before anyone had perceived what power they wielded. The largest department store in a city made an advertising contract for a whole year with the principal daily paper. Okay? Got a department store. It's making an advertising contract with the largest, the principal daily newspaper of that city. It was loudly heralded as the largest deal of its kind up until that time. Notice the key word there is deal. Nock writes, I do not suppose that the contract said a word about such matters, but it was made clear to all the newspaper force that nothing derogatory to the store or to a Jew as such would be allowed in its columns. So you see, when people are buying and supporting the press, like the New York Times is bought by, is owned by higher entities, and the New York Times is beholden to these entities, and therefore, whatever the stringholders want to be in the newspaper must kowtow to the desires of the powers that own it. They're beholden to them. They have them in their back pocket. And so they no longer become then an independent. I mean, this is what people first liked about Donald Trump, in that he was financing his campaign on his own. And we all know that politicians are bought. Their campaigns are so expensive, it's ridiculous. They have to run advertising. And so whoever gives the campaign money and the campaign supports a candidate, that candidate then owes the person giving them money. Special interest groups, that's what it's called. It's called lobbying. Certain groups with an agenda, any kind of green agenda, for instance, or a company that wants to have favorable laws passed will buy that favor through donations, huge donations in the millions, to the candidates. I'm telling you that the same thing happens in the press. So that the press, and this is becoming obvious, that's the thing that's throwing me for a loop. At first, it threw me for a loop. That's why this alternative media is fantastic. It became obvious to me, and to many it's become obvious too, that the press, the mainstream networks, no longer are objectively reporting news, but they are forwarding a political slant. And they are, for instance, ABC, CBS, NBC, they're protecting Hillary Clinton in this campaign. It's obvious. They're not digging up anything on her. They're burying any reports that Hillary is corrupt. At the same time, they hate Trump, and any tiny little misstep Trump makes, they're putting it, splashing it on the front page as if it's, you know, the beginning of World War III. This is obvious. It's obvious. They're no longer even trying to hide it, that they're biased. They're for a political candidate, the mainstream networks that are supposed to be giving us objective news. Anyway, the fact that this is being exposed now, it's happy. And this friend I was talking to on the phone, she said, well, Martin, is this a good thing or a bad thing? I said, both. It's a two-edged sword, because it's a good thing. We like to see corruption exposed. We like to see people becoming illuminated as to the evil machinations of deceitful organizations. So yeah, I'm all for it. But this is what's going to become the beast. Not the thing they're exposing, but they themselves, the exposers, are going to become the beast. And they're going to seem to be the most objective people, and they're going to bring refreshing. For instance, another reason Trump became popular was this: he was refreshingly non-politically correct. He could say anything. People are like, wow, finally, somebody that's not talking through this mind control thing. But Trump himself then and all the alternative media, they're going to become their own brand of a thing that seems to be enlightened and in a real way is enlightened, and yet it is going to be, since it's not in Christ, since it's not acknowledging Christ, it might use the name of Jesus. There's Trump there saying, I'm a religious person. Give me a break. You are a joke. I love Christianity. I'm a Christian. You're a joke. You have no idea who Christ is. You have no idea who God is. You're trying to get elected. You're trying to get the Christians to vote for you. Duh. We're not stupid. All right? You're a joke saying that you're a Christian. Yeah. Two Corinthians walk into a bar. Got it. Okay. Forget about that. So that's how you know. But how many people understand that mainstream Christianity is the devil's den? Few. Those of us, you who are watching me now, we understand. Watching me, listening to me, you understand. Nobody else gets it. Very, very few. That it's mainstream Christianity is a terrible evil, the worst evil to infect the earth. But none of these alternative media people who are exposing the New World Order and the corruption in the press and the powers that are moving and shaking the world, mainly owned by Jews, none of them know what I'm telling you. So we are in the know of those in the know. We are so deeply in the know and so deeply cognizant of what's happening on a spiritual level. Glenn Beck doesn't see this. Bill Maher doesn't see this. Bill O'Reilly doesn't see this. Alex Jones doesn't see this. None of them see this. We see the bigger picture. We see the corruption of religion. We see how it's all working together. They don't. So you're paying very close attention here, and you're seeing that the levels of seduction that are happening. The New World Order nowadays is just too damn obvious. And we're looking for something more subtle, and boy, oh boy, are we getting it.